In the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said in verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And I wrote in my Bible, now. Reading further. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that which you, whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. And so there, people of another race, people of another area, came into the kingdom of God. For this message is to Jew, to Greek, to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. A very interesting brief assortment of verses that I could take this and preach a mini Sunday seminar if I wanted to. Jesus himself gave us this insight into what drove him, what kept him on course when he said, my meat, my food is to do and to finish the work of him that sent me. Not only to do it, but to finish it. And then he said, don't say there are yet 4 months. None of us know exactly how long we have to work. None of us know that. Don't say there's yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Did you know that God blesses a church that gets involved in end time harvest? He that reapeth receiveth wages. He'll even bless us for going out and reaping where someone else has already sown. He that reapeth receiveth wages. And as it's already been said this morning, God wants to bless us in many ways, but God wants to bless us financially. And God blesses people that get involved with a church that's involved with end time harvest. I read just a few moments ago some 19 now ministries, power ministries that are part of the power vision. Every one of these are valid end time ministries. Most of these ministries cost. But when you do the will of God, it doesn't cost, it pays. Just thinking of ministry to children, to youth, to singles, to college and career. Our powerful music ministry, the Power Tower, the Early Prayer, Calvary Academy, Calvary Cathedral Bible School, training end time workers for the harvest of the Lord. Television ministry, local outreach, which includes Operation Stitches and the jail ministry and retirement homes and many other outreaches that I do not have time to get into. Foreign missions, just a few. Uganda, Romania, Mexico, the Caribbean, and every one of our missionary outreaches are red hot. We're getting reports in every month and sometimes weekly of what God is doing. Calvary Cathedral Bible Bookstore. The bookstore is a wonderful ministry. And on it goes with all these wonderful opportunities to get involved. But something began to go over in my heart just a few hours ago, and I've just wrote it out, tried to write it out like God gave me. God began to speak to my heart, and he said, what about Joel's vision? What about Joel's vision? I want you to write that down. That's the title of the message today. What about Joel's vision? What about Joel's vision? I've heard little bits and pieces by radio, by communications, through the mail, and by word of mouth, that there's some people that are given, it seems, to prophesying doom and gloom over the nation that I live in. Now let me tell you something. Those that are bent and bound on doom and gloom, it's going to be worse than you could even imagine when it does come. It's going to be, eye hath not seen and an ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man. Those that are still hanging out here when God's time is through, you don't want to be here. And there's no prophecy, there's no book, there is no prophetic quote utterance that can tell you how bad it's going to be when the saints are lifted out of this world. But I want to come on strong, and I feel a prophetic anointing on me today. I've just read to you from John the 4th chapter. Jesus said, my meat is to do and to finish the will of him that sent me. Don't put a time limit on God and say, yet 4 months. You don't know and I don't know. And there's a lot of books for sale worth the money that thought they knew, and they'd love to sell them out of somebody's warehouse today. They prophesied the rapture, they prophesied this, they prophesied that. But there are warehouses full of those books if they have not already been shredded. And then it said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. That excites me, because when I look at the visions of this house, we're out reaping. And because we're out reaping, that means we receive wages. Calvary Cathedral International is not a Dead Sea church. We are not a Dead Sea church. We're a live, running body of water that's reaping our part of the end time harvest. And we'll do more as God shows us how to do more. But this thing began to go over in my heart. And I went back to Joel, and let's go back and see what Joel said. Joel's vision, his prophetic prophecy and vision, remembering that the writer of Proverbs says that without a vision, people perish. Joel's vision was valid in his day, Joel 2:28, which said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. But before that, it spoke of the meat and the drink offering cut off from the house of the Lord. The Lord's ministers mourning. I'll tell you, there's nothing that'll put ministers into mourning like not enough money to pay the bills, just like you. And then there was the pressure of the field being wasted. The land mourneth. The corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. The wheat and the barley, the harvest of the field is wasted. The vine is dried up after the fig tree. And the palm tree and the apple tree. Everything is in a disarray, state of disarray. All the trees of the field are withered away from the sons of men, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Let me tell you something. The way to keep a strong nation is to keep a spirit of revival. I said the way to keep a strong nation is to keep a spirit of revival. The way to keep a prosperous nation is a spirit of revival. I submit to you that the prosperity of this present time, it is the blessing of Almighty God. There's tithe paying people just like you that are here today and across this nation that are partners with God, and it's impossible to be a partner with God without the blessing of God being upon your life. Well, Joel did have some things to say about that vine being dried up, and the fig tree and the palm tree and the apple tree and all the trees of the field. The meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God. Let me tell you how to slow revival down, and that is to tighten up on God. Tighten up on your giving. Tighten up on your tithe toward the Lord. But you know what Joel did? In Joel, he called for repentance. And he called for turning, and he called for change. And he called for revival, refreshing, and renewal, and for the joy to return. And then in Joel's prophecy, we see the fear not, be glad, rejoice. The Lord will do great things. Be glad then, he said in Joel 2:23, and rejoice. Why? Because God said, I will restore. It shall come to pass afterward. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Yes, there were difficult times in Joel's day, and we have some difficult times in our day. But thank God when we cry out to God, and when we repent, and when we turn, and when we change, and when we make sure that missionaries go forth, and when we make sure that outreaches happen, and when we make sure that prayer goes up to God, there are things that God cannot and will not ignore. God will not ignore a tither. God will not ignore a prayer. God will not ignore an intercessor. God will not ignore someone who dares to stand on His word. I am not before this pulpit to prophesy the gloom and doom and demise of America. Yes, one day it's going to be rough, rougher than I could ever preach, rougher than anyone could ever prophesy. But according to God's word, I plan on being out of here by then. But I'm here to tell you that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, God said, I will hear their prayer. I'll heal their nation. I'll heal their land. God said, I'll turn it around for the nation that will call upon me. I believe in churches like this. It's churches like this that are the salt of this nation. It's churches like this that are the hope of this nation, the insurance of this nation, the source of blessing of this nation. And my blood boils when I hear people 24 hours a day, all they can do is prophesy doom and gloom and there's nothing left. And if that's the way you feel about it, hold it to yourself. If you can't speak a word that will bring salvation and healing and deliverance and restoration and hope and mend families and put people's lives back together again, just hush your mouth. But if you have a word from God, that word will save, that word will heal, that word will restore, that word will bring homes together again, that word will restore broken relationships. Man, I read a newsletter the other day. If I'd been given to depression, I would have been in manic depression. I kept reading it out of curiosity. I thought it's got to get better, but it got worse. And the thing that breaks my heart is there's people that put out doom and gloom newsletters because there's a certain sick segment of our society that will send money. The sadder it is, the more they'll send the money in. Then they fuss about prosperity preachers. Some people just know how to do it another way. They think. But I'm here to tell you, I'm singing it, I'm preaching it, I'm prophesying it, I'm waking up in the midst of the night, and I'm saying, God bless America. God send revival to America. God, wake up this nation. God is not through with America. What about Joel's prophecy? What about Joel's prophecy? You know, when I got through reading that letter, I needed help. Felt like calling the power tower. How do you feel? How do you feel when you get a word that's not from God? I'll tell you where we're walking nowadays. Only faith is spoken here. Only faith is spoken in our house. Only healing is spoken in our house. You walk where we've walked. You don't play games with the negative. You don't play games with Satan's plan and his will. You start really being sure that you're speaking the word and speaking faith. And you may hurt and you may want to say something else, but in the name of Jesus, folks, when you're in a mess or when you're in a difficulty or when you're in a jam, there's only one way up and there's only one way out, and it's the word of God. It's the word of promise. It's the word of the prophetic. Joel, what is the word that God's given you? Man, things are in a mess. The trees are dying and the cattle are dying and the crops are dying. And Joel, there's a mess. What word do you have, Joel? If people will turn to God, God said, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. But Joel, you don't understand. The cattle are dying and the olive trees are dying and the crops are dying. Joel, there's no good news. I know there's no good news in the news, but open the word of God. It's the best news that man has ever had. God said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm prophesying to my nation this morning. I'm prophesying to the city in which we live. When we moved downtown to former First Baptist Church and took possession of this building, you could have thrown a rock down Main Street and hit nothing or no one. It was ghost town. Businesses were boarded up, old buildings. Many long-time department store names and merchants had moved out. Downtown Fort Worth was ghost town. But thank God when we moved in, they said it's suicide to move downtown. Everybody's going suburbia. Well, I found out it's suicide to not do what God says to do. I said it's suicide not to do what God says to do. God can provide a table in the wilderness. God can revise and revive downtown Fort Worth. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. My God's a way maker. God's not a mortician. God's a resurrection specialist. Thank God. And I know some wonderful morticians, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, God's not specializing in the dead. God's a God of life. What about Joel's prophecy? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Really? Who does that mean, Joel? Sons, daughters, old men, young men, servants, handmaids. Sounds like we all got in the circle. Hallelujah. You're not too old for God to pour out His Spirit. You're not too young for God to pour out of His Spirit. You may be a boy, you may be a girl, but God will pour out of His Spirit upon you. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit. What about Joel's prophecy? Sounds good to me. What about it, Joel? Joel said, works for me. Well, time goes on and man gets worse. 400 years of silence. And Jesus came, and you would have thought that Jesus with His 12 would have changed the world. But change takes time. And time demands patience. And in your patience possess ye your souls. You heard the couple that testified last Sunday night that a grandfather had given 3 or was it 4 automobiles or vehicles to a brother who did not live for God, did not serve God, had no pretense of doing what was right before God. And then the fourth one that he was giving away drove by the house to show them the vehicle that he's given to the brother. And they're coming to church. Part of them have to ride in the back of the pickup truck. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd have given anything as a kid to ride in the back of a pickup, man. There is no better living than riding in the back of a pickup when you're a kid. But when you grow up, you find out there's a different way to ride. You understand what I'm saying? Man, I'd fight to ride in the back of a pickup. That was a big deal to me. But you see, then his wife was driving, and you have 4 children, then you have to buckle them in. So that means that somebody has to ride in the back of the pickup. And the devil said, you don't want to ride to church like that. They said, we're going to church if we have to ride in the back of the pickup. We are coming to the house of God. We have made our decision. I like that, and obviously God did too. And you heard last Sunday night that on the very day that grandfather comes by to show the latest car that he's given to the brother, like in your face. And it was all they could do to just bite their lip. And then 2 weeks later, they made up their mind, though, that very day, we're going to keep a good attitude. We're not going to get into strife. Grandfather is not our source. God is our source. The family is not our source. God is our source. We're going to keep a good attitude. We're not going to get into unforgiveness and negativism. That very day they made that choice, somebody made the decision to give them a practically brand new van, and it took 2 weeks to manifest. The very day they could have had a bad attitude and said, God's not fair. Where is God? What's gone wrong? Why isn't God fair anymore? The very day they could have, the fourth car that's being given away to a brother that's not even serving God. Are you following me? I think we've all been close to something of this nature. The very day that a bad attitude could have been declared and recorded in heaven, they said, we decide to be overcomers. We make the decision to be overcomers. Oh, thank God. And that very day, God was speaking to a couple. Give your van to them. got a few miles on it, but it's like brand new. Give that couple your van. And it took them 2 weeks to find them, get a hold of them on the telephone, and for the van to manifest. I'm going to tell you, your miracle begins the day you set yourself and say, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. It doesn't make a difference what I see or how it feels or what's going on around me. Your miracle is put in motion the moment you dare to believe God. And most of the time it looks worse before it finally happens. Most of the time you dig in deeper, it seems, before the manifestation comes. Joel, what about your vision? Joel said, works for me. Works for me. Then I come to the day of Pentecost. You know, I was just thinking, it's a miracle that even 120 showed up on the day of Pentecost. Really, I know 500 heard it, but you know, it's really a miracle that 120, their leader with all this grandiose promises and all that he said and all that he did, he just up and disappeared on them. Their leader's gone. I mean, their job security's gone. No one to write the checks anymore. The loaves and fishes man disappeared on them. The one that got tax money out of the fish's mouth has disappeared on them. And expenses go on. And so the fishermen remembered the lucrative fishing trade. And Luke remembered how it used to be in the doctor's office. And Matthew at the receipt of custom. And on it goes. And there must have been 1,000 questions that were going over in their spirits. But the last thing he said was, go to the upper room and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Their leader's gone. Their occupation's gone. Their paycheck's gone. Their security's gone. Sounds like all they have is faith in God. You mean it's down to this? It's down to this? Well, we can believe God as long as there's a paycheck. We can believe God as long as there's a leader guaranteeing our paycheck. We can believe God as long as we feel good. We can believe God as long as things aren't too bad. But everything's gone. And I'll tell you, I'll shout it to the housetops. Everything in your life can be stripped away. But as long as you have this, and as long as you have faith in God's Word, as long as you have faith in God's Word, as long as you have faith in God's Word, God, if He had to, would bankrupt heaven to meet your need and supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. What about Joel's prophecy? Doom and gloom and doom and gloom. And then spiritual people said, yeah, boy, isn't that? I mean, boy, it was really heavy, man. It was really heavy. Your hands are heavy. You try to pastor people and pump out stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something. People live in enough hell without you giving it to them. People live in low enough pits without you throwing them in another pit. People go through enough difficulty without you stripping their faith, hope, and love. People have enough going on in their life without you pushing them down one more time. We ought to be the merchants of faith, hope, and love everywhere we go. They say, get around that person. They have a word of faith. Get around that person. They're a person of hope. Get around that person and sense the love of God. Get around that person and life will be worth living again. Man, there's some people you can't wait to get away from them. Oh, Jesus. Can't wait to get away from them. So sad, so gloomy, so negative. Well, have you heard about Aunt Matilda? Just like everybody else, everybody in our family just going down the tube, you know. Boy, that's a real faith builder. Sure, people die. Sure, people get sick. And sure, some people don't make it. But Joel's prophecy still is true. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Doesn't make any difference who lives and who dies. God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Life, life, life. Life, life. Read the newspapers. I'm telling you, people are nuts. People that don't know Jesus are crazy. We're reading things in the newspapers that wouldn't have even been printed years ago. People without God are crazy. They're nuts. There's no compass. There's no guideline. There's no conscience. As it's been said in many talk shows, there was a day that some people had some conscience. They might not have done everything right, but there were certain things you'd do and certain things you wouldn't do. And you really couldn't explain why you did or you're not. Well, I could, but the way I was raised. I'm telling you. I mean, I knew why I did and did not do certain things. But I mean, people don't even realize, though we're not saved by the Ten Commandments, they're still the foundation of any decent society. I don't care what you call it. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. And on it goes. So we come to the day of Pentecost. Really, it's a miracle 120 were there. Really a miracle 120 were there. Times are tough. Paychecks are gone. Things are difficult. Their leader disappeared on them. That's enough to discourage anybody. Haven't seen my boss in days. No one can find him. He just disappeared. Just disappeared. Went up in a puff of smoke. Good for him, but what about me? And the Bible said there was a rushing of a mighty wind. The sound is of a rushing of a mighty wind. And there was fire. And oh, all these wonderful things begin to happen. And some way, somehow, without all the wonderful aids that we have to get the gospel out today, somehow a crowd showed up, and out of that crowd, 3,000 people said, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter, thank God, accommodated them and began to tell them what the Word of God had to say. And right in the midst of that, here in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 16, what about Joel's prophecy? "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun, oh, shall be turned into darkness. Yes, that day is coming. But even in the midst of the darkest day this world will ever know, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter, I want to ask you a question. What about Joel's prophecy? Worked for me. It worked for me. I saw 3,000 souls come, and later on 5,000 came, and Jerusalem was saturated with this doctrine, and all of those around Asia Minor. The miracle of it is that the inspiration of Joel's prophecy set them free. Well, let me just bring it to a little simple analogy. Obviously, "in the last days I will pour out of my spirit" did not mean Joel's day. It obviously did not mean Peter's day in its complete completion. But man, they sure got some mileage out of that, didn't they? The book of Acts, 3,000, 5,000, whole cities turning. And Peter goes down to Samaria and preaches Christ unto them. And the whole city turns out. They got a lot of mileage out of Joel's prophecy. And yet it was not the end. It was on the way to the end. Well, now, obviously, it doesn't take a lightning-fast mind to figure out today's not the end. Now, it may be, but as of now, it's not. We're here. Are you following me? Is Joel's prophecy still valid? Was that a pizza dream? Was Joel deceived? Did Joel just think he had a word from God? Peter, by revelation, knew that the word of Joel was the word of God. 3,000 people got saved. And the thing that's going over in my heart, it's time for us to go back and catch Joel's vision. It's time for us to catch Joel's vision. It's time for us to catch Joel's vision. I said it's time for us to catch Joel's vision. That in the last days, it worked in Joel's day. It worked in Peter's day. And because the last days have not come to a completion, it'll work in our day. I said it will work in our day. Brother Nichols, what grounds do you have to believe for revival? What grounds do you have to believe for evangelism? What grounds do you have to believe that God's going to do a supernatural work in our day and time? Because Joel's prophecy lives today. What about Joel's prophecy? It's real today. It's not been done away with. Joel's prophecy is real today. Because we're here, Joel's prophecy is real, and God says, "I will pour out my spirit." I don't know about you, but the only thing that's ever brought life and hope and help and strength to the lives of Bob and Joy Nichols has been the precious Holy Spirit of God. We thank God for things. We thank God for friends. We thank God for the church and for all that God's done. But there's only one source of life. There's only one source of life. And when that life is overflowing, nothing really makes any difference. Nothing can get you down. Nothing can stop you. We're unstoppable when we're filled with His Spirit. So what am I saying? While some are saying America's had it, and they say it with such fervency, you know they just wished it would happen today so they could stand up and say, see, I said it. Hey, I know it's coming. You know it's coming. It's going to be worse than any of us could ever even think. But wait a minute, we're still here. And as long as I'm still here, excuse me, get out of my way and let me win some souls. Excuse me. Excuse this church. Move out of my way and let us go out in 8 communities and win people to Jesus. Excuse me. Let us go into the highways and the hedges. Excuse me. Let us go into the jails. Excuse me. Let us go over to Uganda and go down to the Caribbean and Mexico and Romania. Excuse me. Yes, we're in the last days, and Joel's prophecy is real today. What about Joel's prophecy? It's real today. It's real. Because it's still real, you can still have children when you're not supposed to. Oh, hallelujah. Not one, but two. 8 years when the devil says, no, no, no. But because Joel's prophecy is real, he said, in the last days I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. What about me? What about you? What about us? What about Calvary Cathedral? What about every born-again believer on the face of the earth? Do you want to join the doom and gloom club? You want to go into a pit and pull the roof over you? Or do you choose life? How many life people do we have this morning? Life people. I gave a prophecy in 1981 when we were there in Perth, Australia. The first outside speaker outside of Australia to come in and speak the first graduating class. They had our videos and our teachings there. The Spirit of God came on me, and part of that prophecy was, here come the life people. Here come the life people. Where there is darkness, where there is death, where there is defeat, where there is despair and discouragement, here come the life people. There was a young man by the name of Ian Britz, among many others, that heard that, picked up on it, got a grip on it. And thank God there are young lions across Australia and different parts of the world that got a hold of it. We're the life people. We're not the death people. We're not the discouragement people. We're not the doom and gloom people. We're not the put everything down the tube people. We're the life people. We're the life people. We're the life people. One more time, Joel. Excuse me, Joel. Yes, sir. We want to talk to you. What about Joel's prophecy? Work for me. Well, Peter, what about you, sir? What about on the day of Pentecost? Are you sure that was valid? Man, was it valid. It worked for me. 3,000 people got saved, then 5,000, and then Jerusalem was rocked with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Worked for me. And now we come to our day, and people are saying, doom, gloom, it's all over. Pull the shade down. Nothing to look forward to. Oh, listen to me. Thank God. You know, to hear the doom and gloomers, we'll be walking down the street, and it will go dark. And things will cease to be. And we'll lean on a building and draw our last breath. And we'll fall on the pavement and go out in a blaze of defeated glory. Come on. Come on now. Wake up, saints. Shake yourself. Shake yourself. Shake yourself a little bit. Shake yourself. What about Joel's prophecy? I want this thing to haunt you in a righteous way. What about Joel's prophecy? What about Joel's prophecy? Is that some little cute little Pentecostal spin we preach and teach? What about Joel's prophecy? What about Joel's prophecy? It's here this morning. It's here to unite homes. It's here to bring hope and faith and love. It's here to ignite a fire that cannot be extinguished. There's no sense in planning on 1,000 churches to pray if all that. I mean, just pull the shade down and just pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come quick and get me out of this mess. There's no sense in having another choir practice and expecting anything to happen. I mean, it's all over. We just try to make the best of the next few hours. No! We're going to pray, and we're going to sing, and we're going to shout, and we're going to give, and we're going to reach out. Because we're not the doom and gloom people. We're the glory people. We're the life people. We're the Spirit people. Say not there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. You don't know and I don't know. Go after it every day like it was your last day. Joel, what about your prophecy? To be honest with you, he said, it was great in my day. Peter saw a mighty harvest in his day. Azusa saw a beginning harvest. Folks, it's not getting back to Azusa. I'm tired of this getting back stuff. We got to go on. I said, we got to go on. I mean, in all reverence, I don't mean to be unkind, but I mean, we're always trying to get back to something. We don't need to get back to something. What God has for this day is greater than anything that Joel saw, that Peter saw, that Azusa Street saw, that the early revivals have seen. I mean, what God has for us excels and exceeds anything that this world has ever experienced. We've got a lot to pray about and a lot to pray through and a lot to intercede through. Because the price has already been paid. The price has already been paid. And I believe the prayer of faith is being prayed. And I'm getting ready. God's going to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Thank God. Thank God. And who is it going to touch? Sons, daughters, old men, young men, servants, handmaids, all flesh. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. How many are hungry for God today? You ready to pull down the shade and call it quits? You ready to go into a cave and try to make it on soybeans until Jesus comes? I don't like that stuff. I wonder how many are hungry for God here this morning. Are you hungry for God? Is it all over? Is it all over? Has America had it? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for America? I believe there is hope. And Canada likewise. I'll tell you, God's pouring out His Spirit in an unprecedented way across Canada. I've been prophesying over Canada since 1980, 81. Hell, there's been some dark, bleak, dry days in Canada. But thank God the fire of God's burning in Canada. Burning in Saskatoon, places you can't even pronounce. It's burning across that nation. God is pouring out of His Spirit. And then all of a sudden, God, oh, you talk about God. Dear Lord, we're stretched enough. And then God says, would you be part of a television station in Uganda? I didn't ask for this. Well, I did with a worldwide vision, but I mean, I didn't ask for you know what I mean. And God just figured out there's a pastor that was crazy enough and a church that was just gracious enough and a place that was just full enough of faith to do what nobody else would even try to do. 24 hours a day in Kampala, Uganda, Lighthouse Channel 22. We're going over in the month of August to celebrate the first anniversary. Hallelujah. God is pouring out of His Spirit upon Uganda flesh. All flesh. And because we've sown into the lives of others, God's going to sow into us in a supernatural way. Listen to me real carefully this morning. What about Joel's prophecy? It's still valid. It's still valid. Still powerful. Oh, it's still pouring out God's Spirit. What about Joel's prophecy? Some of you, this is going to haunt you when you leave here in a righteous way. I've already talked to two or three ministers. They said, man, I can't get away from what you're saying. I can't get away from what you're saying. What about Joel's prophecy? What about it? Is it just a little cute Pentecostal clichéism we like to spin off on in conventions? Or is Joel's prophecy real today? It's real. It's real. That's why this church is here. That's why Joe and Bob Nichols are here. That's why all of you are here. Because Joel's prophecy is here and real today. That's why you're here. You wouldn't be here if this was just a dead church pulling down the shade, praying God to get out of here. You're here because there's life. And this church isn't all I want it to be. It's not all it will be. It's not all that God has for us. I'm not calling this church perfection, but I'm telling you this church is just open enough, full of faith enough, just crazy enough, just committed enough to do what God said to do. And we're going to keep on doing it. It may not be politically or religiously popular, but we're going to obey God. As long as I have breath, we're going to obey God. And as long as we obey God, God's going to pay the bills. God's going to meet the need.